You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Handy.
This is Houston. Your oxygen levels will be depleted unless you put the valve modulator into the auxiliary gauge after you have calibrated the flexternal matrix, not the external matrix. Do not touch that one.
I'm just the cook.
But thankfully, you don't need to be a genius to do your own taxes. Because with TurboTax, you can snap a photo of your W-2 with your smartphone, and it will automatically put your information into all the right forms. Intuit TurboTax. Taxes done smarter.
A police officer is recovering after being shot in West Philadelphia. Officer Jesse Hartnett radioed for help after the suspect allegedly shot at him 13 times.
Oakland, stand by. We have an officer shot 6-0 in Spruce. We have an officer down.
Police say the suspect approached Hartnett's vehicle late last night in what Police Commissioner Richard Ross calls an absolute ambush. Hartnett was hit 3 times in the arm and had to undergo surgery to reset it. The officer was able to return fire and hit the suspect, who was later arrested. KYW-TV is citing sources as saying that the suspect confessed to attacking the officer in the name of Islam. President Obama is calling on Congress to do more to broaden background checks on gun buyers. In a CNN town hall meeting in Virginia last night, the president said the government regulates safety on a wide variety of products, from toys to cars. At a rally in Burlington, Vermont, Republican candidate Donald Trump, meanwhile, told a cheering crowd that mass shootings like the recent attack in San Bernardino would be a whole different story if more good guys were armed. This is USA Radio News.
Your locally owned Health Mart Pharmacy is committed to helping you and your wallet stay healthy.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my Health Mart pharmacist helped me understand my insurance, saving me money on prescriptions. They can help you too.
Start saving for the things you love. Visit healthmart.com to find a locally owned Health Mart pharmacy near you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
Hillary Clinton is coming under fire for abusing the Secret Service. Senior correspondent Jason Wirt has more.
Hillary Clinton has been spotted by reporters abusing her Secret Service detail. Author Ronald Kessler, who chronicled interactions between the Clintons and agents in his book, The First Family Detail, said Hillary's hate of military members and Secret Service agents is unique.
Almost on a daily basis, she will blow up at her agents over nothing, even going over a bump in the road. It's just totally the opposite of other presidents, including Barack Obama. He treats his agents with consideration and respect, and that's the way it should be.
Kessler added Clinton routinely called those working at the White House beneath her. I'm Jason Wirt.
The U.S. is accusing Germany of talking out of both sides of its mouth in the Volkswagen software emissions scandal. Attorney generals from at least 3 states and others say VW executives are using German privacy laws to impede their investigation. However, the company insists it's committed to cooperating with the U.S. Volkswagen CEO is supposed to meet with the EPA next Wednesday for discussions. The agency is suing the company under the Clean Air Act for installing software that circumvents federal emissions standards. Over 11 million vehicles are affected worldwide. Fans can watch next season's NFL games played in London over the internet. 3 games are planned in the British capital. Apple and Google are among the tech firms vying for the rights to stream the games online. The league worked with Yahoo last year to stream from London, and results were positive, with 15 million people watching at least part of the game. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Okay, we're about to bring you the sports guys, but before that, I'm Pat Smits, and just wanted to tell you about the weather. And the weather tonight, now we have about a 40% chance of rain, and a low of about 31 degrees. So let's be careful driving out there, because it could get icy in spots, especially if it starts earlier, and it could easily be slushy if there's a lot of rain. But mainly this is going to be after 2 a.m. So before that, let's be careful driving if you're driving early tomorrow morning. Because, again, tomorrow chance of rain about 40%. but it will be warmer. It should be about 45 degrees tomorrow. However, tomorrow night, 50 to 100% chance of rain, so there's going to be heavy rain later tomorrow night. And then on Sunday, there's going to be heavy rain all day. So this is a great day, and we're introducing the sports guys, Ken and Bill. I'm going to have you introduce yourselves, but this is a great weekend for the playoff games, because if you want to, and don't drive your spouse crazy, basically you can spend all day Saturday and all day Sunday watching the first playoff games. So it's been this is the first time we've been back in since before Christmas. So hopefully Happy New Year to both of you. And the sports guys, Pat, Ken, and Bill.
Good afternoon, Pat. It's five, a little after 5, and that means it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is here, Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio. I'm Bill Wolfson, and with me is one of my 3 out of 4 sidekicks, Ken Milstray. John Manfreda can't be here tonight, but we've got a great show for you. Certainly we're going to talk about football, but Pat, you mentioned ice, and that gets me to my favorite topic. I'm the ice hockey boar here. So I want to tell you about the NHL All-Star Game and the new format that will occur in Nashville, of all places, on January 31st, a Sunday. There's going to be a very interesting twist to the game. Everything is now going to be a three-skater-on-three-skater concept. They're going to play two semifinal games, each for 20 minutes. Three skaters, one goalie on the side. There'll be 10 players from each conference. Then what's going to happen is
So explain that a little bit, because I think there are going to be people out there, both Ken and Bill, you can explain it, because frankly, those of us who, you know, somewhat watch hockey may not understand this. I don't.
Well, what's going to happen is this. The teams will play one goalie and three skaters, and they'll play for 20 minutes. And they will play against one of their rivals in the other conference. And there'll be two of those games for 20 minutes.
But, Bill, explain to me. Are they all three on the same team or from the same team?
No, they're going to be from the same division.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So if you're in the Metropolitan Division, you might have Claude Giroux of the Flyers, Alex Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals. You might have somebody from the New York Rangers.
In other words, the guys that are usually killing each other are now going to be playing on the same side.
That's right.
Is that right, Ken?
That's right. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yep. And so they'll each play, an opposing conference for 20 minutes, see who scores. If not, there'll be a shootout. And then the two winning teams from that semifinal will play in the final for the All-Star Game. So an interesting concept. I understand the uniforms will be a version of piano keys in honor of Nashville's Music City name. So the uniforms are going to be a very nice gray and white, or black, gray, and white. And it should be an interesting game to see.
Well, Ken, let me ask you. When they're selecting the skaters, are these the best skaters?
Yeah, you know, Pat, the NHL has gotten very they have never settled on a format for their All-Star game. It used to be the best team would take on the All-Stars from the rest of the league, and then it was East versus West Conference. And then for a while there, it was North America versus Europe All-Stars. And then a couple years ago, I guess it was 3 years ago, they went with a thing where they appointed captains, and they had all the All-Stars. They named all the All-Stars. I think it was 40 players, and it was not affiliated. The teams were not affiliated with any particular conference or any particular division. The captains picked their team like it was a fantasy draft, which is actually pretty interesting. And now they've gone to this thing that and I'm not even sure what they call it, but they're trying to take advantage of the 3-on-3 format, which is so exciting in overtime. The whole game's going to be 3-on-3. And like Bill said, it's going to be set up by division instead of conference. So each division has their 10 best players, a minimum of one player from each team in the division. And I guess the two divisions, the Eastern Conference, will play, and the two teams two divisions in the Western Conference will play, and whoever wins those games will win the third. You know, will play in the third game. So it's pretty interesting format. It should absolutely be a pleasure for the fans. I don't know what the scores of these are. They going to be 17-16? I don't know. 3-on-3 hockey with the most talented players in the world. Anything's possible, but it should. I'm looking forward to it. It's very interesting. I like the way the NHL has gotten to do something different every year. Maybe it's because they can't get it right, but they always come up with something interesting for the fans.
Well, you know, the NHL is a league that likes to experiment, and they know people are unhappy with the shootout. So what they've done is they've added an element of excitement. Instead of playing 4-on-4 for 5 minutes of overtime, they now play 3-on-3 plus the goalie. And that means that everything is puck possession, speed, a good shot, and great goaltending, and getting back on defense once you've lost control of the puck. And those are the things that make hockey exciting, especially that transition game.
Now, let me ask you, how are they picking the players, the 10 players? I mean, for example, might they have, you know, two goalies on one side? I mean, I guess the question is
I thought it was fan selection.
I think you're right, and it's a good question, Pat. I don't know how many players by position are on each team. I'm under the impression, and I could be wrong, it's 6 forwards, 3 defensemen, and a goalie. Mm-hmm. But I could be wrong about that too. I know it's 10 per division, and I think it's 6-3-1.
Well, they have to have 2 goalies.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they have to have 2 in case somebody gets embarrassed in a 17-16 game. They might be crying halfway through. But, yeah, it's interesting stuff. You know, and the regular season is heating up as well. You know, it looks like, Bill, your Flyers looks like they're raising the white flag. They just traded one of their veteran defensemen yesterday for a draft pick and a prospect.
Well, that's not the case. They're doing just the opposite. Luke Shen was a big disappointment as a defenseman. Remember, they traded one of their most promising young forwards to Toronto for him, James Van Riemsdyk, who hails from Brick, New Jersey. And he's been a consistent 30-goal scorer for Toronto year in and year out since the trade. So they made a huge mistake there. And they took their chances on Luke Shen, who was a number one draft pick for Toronto. But he's now gone, and they dumped a huge contract with him. They also dumped the contract for Vincent LeCavalier, even though they've got to pay some of his last year's $1 million. L.A. has picked up some of it, but what it did is it freed up for Philadelphia about $5 million in cap space, so they can now begin bringing up more of their younger guys. Plus, it leaves them enough money that they can rent a scorer, a good sharpshooter who can get themselves into the playoffs.
But to me, it looks like they're raising the white flag. You don't trade a veteran defenseman who plays 20 minutes a game and get nobody in return, basically, for it.
Well, but that's the whole point. Luke Shen was becoming a liability. He had slowed down. He had lost some of his skill, and his heart was just not in it. He's been a healthy scratch a lot this season. And the Flyers think that Sam Morin and Shane Kotisbehere will probably make up the slack. The Flyers' defense has gotten younger. The Flyers' forwards have gotten younger. I think this team is all upside now that they've solved the goalie problem they've had for years and years between Neuwirth and Steve Mason. They should be a lot better. Remember, the Flyers are only 4 points out of a wild card playoff spot after a rough start. And this is the first time that they have not been a light year behind in about 3 years. The New Year's break. They played a good game last night in Minnesota, winning in overtime 4-3. They were ahead 1-0. Minnesota tied it. Then they were ahead 3-1. Minnesota got a goal. Then Minnesota got a very fluky goal on some mishandling between Steve Mason and one of the forwards, I think Bellemare. And somehow the puck managed to bounce off of the forward and into the onto the stick of one of the Minnesota forwards. I think it might have been Zach Parise who just buried it past Mason while he was out of position. Flyers managed to come back from that miscue and win it in overtime and didn't have to go to a shootout. So this is turning into a resilient team. I'm impressed that they're getting better. I like it. They moved Umberger, who, good player that he was for years and years, I think is now on the down slope of a good career. And LeCavalier is gone also. So the trades that Ron Hextall knew he had to make, he's made. He's cleared cap space. This is a team that will probably get well in a hurry. They could make the playoffs. I don't think they have an insurmountable problem. A couple of teams ahead of them have to get a little brown around the edges, and perhaps that could even be the New York Rangers.
You know, the Rangers didn't play well for about a month, but they've looked better lately. They've won 3 out of their last 5 after winning 3 out of their previous 14, I believe it was. So we'll see. You know, it's a new year. Teams have ups and downs during the season, but the Rangers definitely need to get their act together, play a little bit more like they were early in the season because, like you said, Bill, the playoffs it's so tight.
Oh yeah.
That you know, you win or lose 3 games in a row and you can pass or drop 3 or 4 teams. So
that's
it,
right.
It should be a real interesting second half.
That's right. The other thing that impressed me was the Flyers did beat the Montreal Canadiens, who have been sagging lately, although the Canadiens did come back at home against New Jersey 2-1 last night.
I think Canadiens will be all right once Carey Price comes back. I think kind of like the Rangers with Henrik Lundqvist, they're carried by their goalie, and he's been out. I guess he's missed the majority of the season.
I think that's right. And you'll notice, though, that Montreal just traded a goaltender to Barak to the L.A. Kings for a forward. Both of these guys, I think, are minor leaguers who still have something to show, but they're both like mid-20s. So you've got some decent talent in Montreal. P.K. Subban's one of my favorite players just because he's such a great defenseman, really moves the puck well, and he's tough.
Hey, Bill, not to interrupt, but did you see former Flyer Mike Richards just got signed?
By whom? L.A. again?
No, it wasn't L.A. It was... bear with me. I'll think of it in a second. Basically, kind of a last chance kind of a thing. I guess he had a tough year last year. He got sent to the minors, and then he had some legal problems.
Right. He had some personal problems.
That hasn't really played out yet. I'm not sure what's going to happen there, but he had some serious legal stuff. And at some point during the show, I remember who signed him, but someone looking for a veteran presence. It might have been...
In Vancouver.
It wasn't Florida. Boy, I think
Oilers,
it was.
I thought it was. Always looking for new talent.
I thought it was Eastern Conference.
Well, if he came over to the Eastern Conference, good. Richards was a great player for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I was sorry when they traded him.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he had some good years with the Kings. He won a cup out there, and then apparently his life took the wrong turn somewhere, and his play kind of reflected that.
Well, that's always a problem, and we see that not just in hockey players, but also in a lot of young people. Hopefully they get themselves straightened out and go on and have good, successful lives. Meanwhile, what's your take on the Giants and moving on from Coughlin? I always admired Tom Coughlin as a coach, but there was something that really troubled me towards the end of the season. That was his handling of Odell Beckham. I always thought of Coughlin as kind of a, you know, like your high school chemistry teacher, a tough guy. You better not fool around in class. And he was something of a disciplinarian. And now he has Odell Beckham, who's literally losing it on the field. And he doesn't yank him off the field and tell him to calm down. And he cost his team penalty after penalty after penalty. And I blame Coughlin for not getting this guy to cool it. I recognize he was the only guy Eli Manning could throw to. But, you know, Beckham was just throwing a tantrum out there. He was literally out of control. I mean, his opponents really got under his skin in the game just before, 2 games before the final.
Yeah, I'll address that 2 ways, Bill. I totally agree with you with Beckham. He really lost control. I think he probably deserved more than a 1-game suspension, probably deserved 2 games and probably banned from the Pro Bowl as well. I don't think I've ever seen anyone who, as clear as day, was trying to injure another player. I don't think I've ever seen that in the NFL as much as he was.
Well, not not in the recent years. I mean, I think, you know, before we saw it all on television and the instant plays,
yeah.
I think there was some probably some pretty tough guys out there.
But Pat,
and some dirty players.
He did it multiple times.
You're absolutely
right. I never saw anything like it before.
Oh,
yeah,
I hadn't either because, you know, usually if you ever were at a game and you saw something, it was kind of like, did I really see it?
Right.
Was it that bad? Now, anybody who does it, I mean, it's all going to be on instant replay. It's going to be on every sports show for the next month. And, I mean, that was really egregious.
The ref should have thrown him out on the spot. And you're right, Coughlin or somebody on the Giants needed to tell him to go sit down on the bench. You're out of the game.
Calm
I mean,
down.
it was totally, it was really a dangerous situation.
Yeah, but, and that sent a message to me about Coughlin, and that message was, I don't care. Or maybe not I don't care, but I just don't have the energy to get control of this anymore.
I think it was, thank God he didn't get caught. I mean, I think he was out there and, you know, he was not going to, you know, he just wasn't going to pull one of his best players that he needed out of the game.
I think he knew that taking Beckham out of the game meant the game was lost. And
all
unfortunately,
he needed to do was take him out for a few plays.
Right.
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 I mean, he needed to take him out and he needed to say, hey, look, it's got to stop now. You know, because it wasn't just at the last. You know, this went on for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
This went on for at least 30 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't just the last minute or two of the game.
Yeah, it was all in the first half. I mean,
it got worse.
That being said, I hate to see Coughlin be in a position where he's not coaching the Giants anymore. I think he did a tremendous job for 12 years, but I think it was time to go.
Do you think he was forced out? I guess that was my question.
I don't feel he was.
I didn't know enough about it to, you know, conclude whether or not, you know, he walked before he was fired.
They probably had a conversation and they all kind of agreed because at 6-10, two straight years, results talk. Coughlin had to know, and I'm sure he did prior to the season. I think it was kind of playoffs or bust for him. Mm-hmm. And when they didn't make the playoffs, he saw the writing is on the wall. And as a class act that he is, and as the Giants owners, a class act that they are, they weren't going to fire him. I mean, that just couldn't happen. So he kind of stepped down on his own. If I'm running the Giants, if I'm John Mara John Tisch, I would have made him the general manager. I think Jerry Reese is even more culpable than Coughlin is for the state of the Giants the last couple of years. They don't have any players.
Well, the thing that I noticed is that the Giants managed to fizzle and blow leads in the fourth quarter a lot. And even in the last 5 minutes, they would blow up. And what that says to me is there's a conditioning problem or a stamina problem, or there's something missing in the coaching. And it flows from the head coaching down. I think Coughlin was burned out, and I think he was disappointed with the players he was getting from Reese. And I think Coughlin also had a major problem with his defense, because the Giants' defense used to be ferocious, and they were not good against the run this year. They didn't play real well against the pass. And you also had the problem of Jason Pierre-Paul trying to demonstrate that you cannot hold a firecracker in your hand.
Well, Bill, and I'm going to give you a couple minutes. We'll play some spots from our sponsors. And you can gather your thoughts, because I think you went after questions about Beckham because you wanted to ignore the fact of what happened to, I won't use the name that John Manfreda refers to him to, but maybe we should talk a little bit about what's happening with the Eagles when we come back.
Okay.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20...
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hideen Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hideen Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hideen Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Okay, we're back on the air, and we've been having a fun conversation while you've been listening to our sponsors.
You should have heard what we were saying. Football, guys. What's happening this weekend?
Well, oh, and Ken and I...
Is football this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Ken and I are so glad that it's going to be raining because nobody can nag us to go outside to do any work. But, of course, in my household, that's fine because both Dave and I are both sitting in there watching the games. So, as much as I wanted the Packers to win our division, the fact that they lost... maybe the best thing that happened in light of the fact that they didn't have to, you know, go up against the Seahawks. And well, even though they'd be at home, you know, that was going to be a really tough game.
So what do you think they're playing at the Washington Redskins now, the NFC East champion Redskins. Right. First time they've been in the playoffs in 3 years. You know, originally the Redskins were favored in that game. And then I think people kind of, you know, those people who bet on the games kind of said, you know what, I'm going to put my money on Aaron Rodgers one more time. What's your thoughts, Pat? You're the closest one to the Packers.
Yeah, well, I mean, what I'm really concerned about are the number of injuries. First of all, Rodgers, even the last time he was sacked 5 times, he was running around. He had to throw the ball away so many times. You know, I don't know if Lacy's going to be playing much. He's hurt. Shields is hurt. Shields been dropping balls. Stilton is hurt. T.J. Lang is hurt. Beluga, I can never say his name. Beluga's, Baltieri. I mean, they have Randall. I mean, they're really not doing well. And frankly, the last conversation Dave and I were having, we wished Jennings was back. And, of course, you know, they let some people go. And it's really been a disaster of a season. I mean, I think that either Aaron Rodgers is hurt or he's being pressured to the extent that he's not as precise in the last couple of games as he's been before. Now, so we're really hoping that the Packers can go and pull this one out. But unfortunately, you know, there's some teams that have a real impetus at the end of the season, and it's not been the Packers.
No. It's amazing, though, Pat. Remember when they were 6-0 and we were all high-fiving because they looked, you know, it looked like they were going to just waltz into the playoffs and into the Super Bowl again.
Exactly.
And then now they're 10, they've been 4-6 over the last 10 games. And to your point, it's hard to really say, well, here's the Packers' strength, because due to injuries or, you know, whatever the reason is, they can't really get a consistent running game. And anyone who watches NFL knows if you don't have a consistent running game, it's very difficult to have a consistent passing game. And I think that's what's happened to him. I don't think Rodgers is really having a bad year, but the team has had a bad year around him.
Well, they're not protecting him at all.
No, he's running for his life.
You know, and frankly, if you take a look, I don't think they're opening up anything for Lacy. He's trying to go right up against that whole, you know, defense on the other side, and he's not finding the holes. And frankly, you know, have somebody like Adams who, you know, they're missing too many catches. You know, Janice, I thought, you know, the first couple games he played seemed to be, you know, maybe he was going to do it, but it just, it's really not been a happy season.
So, Pat, you're picking the Redskins in this game?
No. I would never do it.
No.
Look, I was one of those people that I would pick the Packers no matter who they were going up against because I don't want to jinx them.
What do you think, Bill? I know this is going to be a tough one, playing in Washington, who hasn't had a playoff game in years.
Well, remember, these are teams that haven't met in the playoffs probably since the early 70s, first of all. Second of all, Washington is simply not that good. Although Green Bay is banged up, Green Bay is missing, I think, one of their best guys, Jordy Nelson.
Oh, there's no question about it.
I mean, who's Rodgers really have to throw to? Who's got his speed, Nelson's speed, and his quick, sure hands? I mean, I've always been impressed with balls that Nelson has caught that I don't think other guys could catch. And the other thing, too, is he doesn't have a lot of chops. So he's got those soft hands that I think a wide receiver needs to have. So my question, though, is can Clay Matthews have the game of his lifetime?
Yeah, but he's one guy. You know, that's the problem. Peppers, you know, at the beginning of the season, he was really doing well. You know, but Matthews can't do it all.
No,
I guess
no,
that's
no question
the problem.
About
Matthews
it.
Can't do it all.
I think if Matthews can get to Cousins a couple of times early in the game, and if they can stuff a run so that Washington doesn't come out of the first quarter with anything more than a field goal or two, the Packers' inept offense or hobbled offense.
Oh, that's true.
We'll probably find a way to win because I think Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback.
Well, and he's smart. I mean, the one thing, he's smart, but what we've seen in the last few games is he can't carry it alone. You know, he just can't. And he, if you take a look at, you know, their touchdowns and who's had the most yards, I mean, he's really been, you know, he's been running a lot. He's out of the pocket. But, you know, he's just, you know, he's just not finding people.
No, so, and the reason he's not finding people is because the routes that are being designed are not being run well. And I can't tell you that Washington's got a great defensive secondary, but I noticed that a lot of the play calling that Green Bay had against Minnesota, it looked like their wide receivers and their tight ends were all covered with blankets.
Well, McCarthy's back making the calls. I mean, I thought that was, that was a job he always did. I'm not a real McCarthy fan, but as people know. But the point is, he was a good play caller, and he didn't do it at the beginning of the year when they were winning. Then they started, you know, not doing as well, and he started doing the play calling, and he's not doing any better than anyone else was. And I think, frankly, I think the Packers got rid of some people that they should have kept. I mean, for example, Jennings, I think they got rid of him too quickly. They expected some of these young guys to come along faster than they're coming along. Well, anyway, we don't want to talk only about the Packers. I do, maybe, but not everyone else. One of the things that we can talk about maybe next week is, that class of 2016 for the Hall of Fame, because, of course, my Brett Favre is going to be up there for the first time. And let's remember, and someone I like, Kurt Warner, is, of course, also up for the second time. Unusual. Let me ask you guys some trivia. When was the last time two quarterbacks went in the same class?
I couldn't begin to tell you.
No?
I'm with Bill.
I don't know.
No idea.
Do you know who they were?
Bill, I got to defer to you on this one.
I'm drawing a blank. I don't think it was Richard Todd of the Jets, though.
No, I don't think so.
Nope. I think, as I recall, it was Marino and who else? Oh, I know, too. Was it Elway? No. Anyway, I guess I don't really remember either. But
you're saying it's very unusual.
Very unusual. I think it's happened twice, maybe.
Do they limit the number of people to be eligible each year?
Well, they have 15 finalists now.
How many?
They have 15 finalists. Okay. I guess they call them 5 finalists, but they have, the final 15, and then they have, 5 that go in, and so they're all predicting as to who they will be. I thought that I was somewhat surprised that Jimmy Johnson isn't on that list, but Tony Dungy is.
Now, how do you get on the list? I realize there's hundreds of potentials. And
it's a sports writer.
How do they whittle it down to 15?
Yeah, I'm not sure how they do that, honestly. But I know that I guess it's a ballot. It must be. I know there's certainly a ballot for the 5 that go in. And I like Kurt Warner. And I guess the question, though, is whether because of his short career, if that is really going to hurt him.
I think he'll get in, Pat. Wait, I mean, he had a short career, but he was, the years when he was good, he was really, really, really good.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Well, I mean, there is, longevity can be trumped by greatness. I mean, look how few years that Gale Sayers played. I mean, he really didn't play that long. I don't remember how many. But he was great, and I think he got in on the first ballot.
I'm surprised Warner didn't get in last year, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And he's
was there a quarterback that got in last year? I don't remember.
Pat.
Terrell Owens.
Hall of Fame players isn't my best category.
Terrell Owens is up for, I think he's one of the, top 5 that they think might go in this year. So
there's a guy, Pat, that should probably get in, but I don't know what his relationship was with some of the people who may be doing the voting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree.
Who knows? He probably deserves to be in, but it might not be first ballot for him either.
By the way, I think in 2005 it was Young and Marino. If I
Steve Young and Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I couldn't even guess.
I think it was. But in any event, it's always interesting, and you know, the quarterbacks, you know, often, I mean, they go in on the first ballot. So I agree with you. I don't know why Kurt Warner didn't go in last year. Mm-hmm. But
he's a trivia answer, too. The last quarterback for the Giants before Eli Manning was Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
That's right. He did play for a while.
Yeah. I mean, you don't think of him as a Giant.
No, not at all.
But what was that, his last season as a quarterback?
No, he played for Arizona.
That's right. He did go to Arizona after that.
He
had
did
some great years.
He did a great job in Arizona.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean,
right.
I sat there and watched him. Was he the quarterback that year when... Now I'm blanking. Whether Kurt Warner was the quarterback when they beat the Packers in a playoff game.
Oh, I think so.
I think he was, right?
Right.
He had to be.
Because the Giants cleared room for, you know, the young gun, Eli, and then he landed in Arizona after that.
And I thought he was... he started off with the Rams, right? Didn't he go to the Super Bowl with the Rams?
Yes.
I thought so.
Yeah. After a couple of years playing indoor football, right? That was his thing.
He played arena
football
for a while.
Yeah, he played arena football.
Because remember,
for
he was floating around with nobody picking him up. But speaking of quarterbacks, I've got a question. What's the story with Johnny Manziel in Cleveland? It sounds like he's really breaking down.
I don't know.
He just seems to have one off-the-field problem after another.
Yeah. Is this somebody who's got a substance abuse problem, or he's just out of control, or he's just a jerk? What's the story with him?
I'm trying to remember. Didn't he go for treatment in the off-season?
I don't know.
And then they got a video of him doing something crazy at a party, like the night before game this year, and then he got benched, and he was already second string, and then he got bumped down to third string. I think he's got, you know, what do I know? It looks like he has maturity issues. Is it safe to say?
That's probably the case. I was surprised to see Tampa getting rid of Lovie Smith after two seasons, even though they were, 4-12 both seasons? It means that somebody new is going to be tutoring Jameis Winston.
I wouldn't mind seeing Lovie Smith coaching the Giants next year.
I like Lovie
Smith.
I do too. I think he's a great coach.
I would
applaud that move.
I mean, I'm not a Bears fan, but I thought he did a good job with them.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
I think
like
he had nothing
Lovie
to work
Smith.
With at Tampa.
No.
And now he does, and they pulled the rug out from under him. I was surprised by that move.
Patience. It's all about patience, Bill. I guess the owner just said, you know, we didn't make the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Well, and that's part of the problem with these owners. You know, I think that, honestly, you know, Green Bay, because they don't have an owner, you know, they're more patient, or, you know, because there were some lousy coaches. I mean, remember what, Scooter McLean? Wasn't it Scooter McLean back before
Lombardi?
Only you would remember that.
I know Phil Bankston. I remember him.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, before, you know, and that, you know, we think that it's the players, the coaches don't make a difference, but they do. I mean, I was too young to really remember when Lombardi came, but he took the same basic players. He did not bring a lot of new players in, and he just turned that team around. So they had all of those excellent players on the team, and the coaching made all the difference.
Remember something. It was the same thing Todd Bowles said to the Jets in the beginning, at the preseason. He said, we don't have to rebuild. We don't have to blow this team up. We have enough talent to have a good season. And they did go 10-6? Yes. They did go 10-6. They played a bad game last week.
Bill, did you know the Jets are going to rename the team?
What are they going to call
them? They're not going to be the New York Jets anymore. They're going to be the same old Jets.
Oh, right. Remember, you know, when the Jets played in Queens, they had a certain Queens quality to them that you could... After the season.
A Queens quality? You better be careful with that one.
Careful. I'll tell you exactly what I mean. A Queens County quality. You could, just like in the Seinfeld series, they had the Holiday Festivus.
Right.
That Frank Costanza made up, where everybody sat around the dinner table. It would be this aluminum pole, and you would tell each and every one of your nearest and dearest relatives, just how much they had disappointed you in the past year. I always thought the Jets were that kind of fit into that, you know, that Queens, New York quality.
But, Bill, was anybody surprised that they blew the game against Buffalo? I was not even a little bit surprised.
I wasn't surprised. I thought that they had a couple of chances to win. Fitzpatrick threw a terrible interception in coverage in the end zone, where what he should have done was launch the ball another 20 feet past. It would have gone into the stands, and he still had a couple of plays because it was like on a first down.
Same old Jets. We knew that. We could see that coming.
Well, but wait a minute. What about your Eagles?
Whoa. I mean, firing
somebody before the last game, I mean, that's like, you know, like stomping you in the mud and then jumping on top of you. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, I've heard that firing the coach before the last game is like a little bit like being in the mob and talking to the FBI. Or it's like when Pat, when you take your best friend's daughter, 5-year-old daughter, and your 5-year-old daughter, and you go to the mall and you lose your best friend's daughter, you know, you just don't do that. But I think what happened was Jeff Lurie, who's a pretty patient guy and a decent owner and a hands-off kind of owner, he leaves things to his football guys, had gotten fed up with Chip. Chip did not get along with others, did not work well with others. The stories that are now coming out was that Chip changed the date of the Eagle Christmas party and embarrassed Lurie and made him change the date on the memo, and they got into that. He had also...
Yeah, but come on, all of that he also is lost petty the compared... I mean,
but he had really lost the locker room. And,
well, I agree with that. I mean,
and he had made some horrendous player choices. I mean, Tim Tebow, now I respect Tebow as a man. I respect him, respect his beliefs and things like that, but he's not an NFL quarterback.
Did he play this year?
I think he may have played one game.
You know, I forgot he was on the Eagles.
He was cutting the preseason, perhaps.
Oh, okay.
But and having Mark Sanchez as a backup, we know Sanchez did take the Jets to the playoffs his second year with Rex Ryan.
But the real problem was he got rid of some really good players.
He got rid of Macklin. He got rid of Shady McCoy. He got rid of DeSean Jackson. Now, granted, DeSean Jackson was something of a diva receiver, but you know, you tolerate guys like that if they're good. And he picked up Kiki Alonso from Buffalo, knowing he was banged up. The only choice that he made that I thought was pretty good, but the jury's still out, is Sam Bradford. I thought Bradford did a credible job this year and deserves to come back off of his one-year contract and be re-signed. But the Eagles put Bradford in a situation where he had really nobody good to throw to. They got a real need of wide receiver. Their offensive line is bad. Not giving DeMarco Murray the ball a zillion times during the game in running situations. This is a guy who, with Dallas, had a well over 1,000 yards. What did he have, 1,400 yards?
Led the league.
Last season?
Led the league.
He led the league. And getting him frustrated and the up-tempo offense, well, it was a good idea and everybody liked it when they were winning. Problem is, it didn't keep the defense off the field long enough.
Right, and you know, that is so important. I mean, those guys, you can see at the end of the game. I mean, I don't know, and I know I go back to the Packers, I don't know how Matthews manages to get out there sometimes in the last 10 minutes of a game. I mean, if they're on the field a long time, those guys really, really take a beating. And that's every goal of every coach must be to keep their offense out there as long as possible. By the way, the one thing I didn't tell you guys is, you know who I want the Packers to sign? Can they still sign players before now that it's in the darn?
Not till after the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, I wanted them to bring, even if they're a prior Packer and they're retired, I wanted him to bring Donald Driver back. Honestly, I think Driver could have come back And
he'd be the best receiver.
Been the best receiver on the team. Honestly, I don't know why they didn't reach out and say, hey, Donald, you know what? Come back for the last three games.
Well, what's the story on Jordy Nelson's recovery? Is he coming back next year?
Well, they're hoping so.
I didn't think it was that. Is that bad? I mean, it might be career threatening.
Well, the idea was that he'd be out all season, and I have not heard that anybody talking about him coming back for the playoffs at all. So, you know,
I thought he was done for the season because of his injuries.
My sense is it was for the season. I haven't heard that it was worse than that or career ending.
Knee injury?
You know, I don't know. What was it? just drawing a blank.
I don't remember either.
But, you know, we went out in a preseason game.
Right. Yeah, he didn't play at all this year.
And, I mean, that has been... And part of the problem is, since they don't have to worry about him, you know, it makes it so much more difficult for everyone else because
right.
they don't have, you know, he was always such a threat for that long throw. I mean, that was what Jordy Nelson always had that defense on any team worried about that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Rodgers would be able to throw deep and Jordy would catch it no matter what, and that would be it.
Well, that was one of the problems that the Eagles faced when they left let LeSean Jackson go because he was a deep threat. He opened holes for Celek. He opened another hole for Ertz and another one for Riley Cooper in short passes. And the Eagles could sustain long drives, which they did for two seasons, one of which they went to a playoff game, by keeping their defense off the field. They would have 7-minute drives, 6-minute drives, and either score a touchdown or at least get themselves a field goal. Whereas now, this whole season has been a mess.
So, what do you think about Minnesota's chances against the Seahawks? I'm hoping that
I think they're good.
I'm hoping that Peterson has the best game of his life.
You think Minnesota's going to beat Seattle?
I do. I think Rocky Peterson is going to really have a great game. I think he's positioned to show everybody just how good he is.
I think the way Seattle's played the second half of the season, they look like the Super Bowl team of last season. I think they'll beat Minnesota in Minnesota.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it, though. Like I said, I love those ice bowl type games.
Yeah, you never, do too.
You'll see something crazy will happen at some point.
Oh yeah, yeah. To me, the fun of those games, as long as you're watching them indoors,
right,
you know, you've got 60,000 people there, all bundled up and suffering. You got the guys running around on the fields with the bare arms, and I've always wondered how they did that.
We, you know, I've been 13 below zero, suffered a little bit then, but you know, it was just too much fun to watch.
It's too much fun to watch
a game in a stadium.
So, what do you think, Pat? Seattle or Minnesota?
Oh, I think Seattle will do it.
Okay, so we got
really
two votes
do.
For Seattle. Yeah. I think we all agreed the Packers would be able to pull it off against Washington.
Well, I hope so. My husband's a real pessimist about that, but
Washington has everything going for them. They really do, but I think they might even be overconfident, and they don't have the playoff experience that the Packers do. I think the Packers will win. What about the AFC? What do you think, Bengals, Steelers?
Well, you know, I haven't watched either team enough to even make a prediction.
These are all tough games, right? I don't know.
Yeah,
I really don't know. I know the Bengals quarterback's not playing. Dalton is out.
Oh, really?
So
that'll be significant. Who's playing as quarterback?
McCardle?
I don't even know.
Is that his name, McCardle?
I don't know that name. Yeah.
But, you know, in the Minnesota game.
Don't know a lot about him.
In the Minnesota game, apparently Peterson is injured. So I don't know that will mean that he won't play, but you know, he had almost 1,500 yards this year. So
Adrian Peterson's hurt?
I think I heard that Adrian Peterson is injured. Now, you know, how injured, I don't know. And I haven't heard anything more about that, but someone in passing had said that he was.
It's cold. He won't even feel it, Pat. He'll be fine. He'll play. He'll be fine.
I mean, I have to tell you, I like him. I mean, I know that he's had his problems, but I really... He is so much fun to watch. I mean, he's one of those players. There are certain players that are always going to be fun to watch, I think.
Oh, no doubt about it. But you have the problem, though, of you've got a freezing cold game. It's going to be, what, zero, they're predicting, in Minnesota. It's, you know, the ground game is going to be critical. I think he's going to have a great game against Seattle. That's my feeling.
Well, see, you know, I think that even though the players who play in the North, they don't have much more of an advantage because many of these guys have come from Southern schools. So, you know, don't give me that. I don't know. Is that a natural grass field, though, or is it?
I think it is, yeah.
You know, I think can be really significant. And, of course, the field at Lambeau is just an amazing field. I don't know if you've seen the games, but what good quality
the field is still in.
It is heated. But it's also still in great shape. I mean, you see some, you know, fields, and, you know, by this time of the season, they look like a mud. But
I don't think the University of Minnesota Gophers keep their field like the Packers do.
No, I don't think anybody does. I know they don't.
Yeah. What do you think about the Steelers' chances against the Bengals? We haven't talked about
that. Well, that's the point. I don't know.
I got to go Steelers.
Who's a good quarterback. Steelers have a pretty decent defense. And Cincinnati's banged up, and they're not playing their regular quarterback this weekend.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law out in central Pennsylvania is over the moon that the Steelers snuck past the Jets.
I kind of like the Steelers again. I mean, there are so many years that they were so dominant.
Oh, yeah.
And
Their two best running backs are out. So.
Oh, really?
Their third string, who I couldn't even name him, I wouldn't recognize him if he walked in here right now, will be their primary runner, which means what? Roethlisberger will probably throw the ball 50 times in this game because he really has nobody to hand off to.
Right.
Yet it's supposed to be pouring down rain in Cincinnati just like it is in Washington. So weather will play a role in these games too.
Wow. So Washington is going to get the same kind of rain that we're getting?
Yes. Yep.
Oh.
A day later than Cincinnati as it comes you know, from the west. So.
Oh, and we're supposed to get heavy, heavy rains here on Sunday.
Yeah. Yes.
So I didn't know if it was that far south.
Oh, yeah. I think the whole East Coast down into the southeast is going to be seeing a lot of rain Sunday.
So is that artificial turf in Washington?
I don't think
It's not artificial turf there. It's turf.
That's going to be a mud bowl.
Yeah, that
will be. It could very well be.
That'll be fun.
And, you know, I think Advantage Green Bay, if they can put together any kind of a running game, particularly if they can run to the outside.
No, but, you know, you have both Lacy and Shields who are hurt.
They as I said, Pat, if they can put together any kind of a running game.
They may have the water boy out there. I mean, you know, I mean, how many more guys do they have, honestly?
Pat, it seems like we're saying that about every team.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Look at New England. They have a bunch of players out. You know, Buffalo, everyone in the New York media, of course, was down on Rex Ryan. Oh, he took a good team with a lot of potential, and they did nothing this year. You know, they led the league in one stat. They had the most players on injured reserve, the Buffalo Bills. They had 18 players go on IR this year.
Wow.
Which is a lot. Not that I'm a Rex Ryan fan, don't get me wrong. But, hey, before we go, last game, Texans-Chiefs. And recall, sports fans, people listening out there taking notes, back in September, yours truly picked the Texans to win the AFC.
Chiefs.
Well,
I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
I'm going with the Chiefs, too. I'm just an Andy Reid fan.
And that's exactly why. I want Andy to win. I want him to show Philadelphia, frankly, that you know, they made a mistake big time when they, you know, used to diss him the way they did.
I think Andy was just burned out and wanted to go. Look, he was there, what, 12, 13 years?
I don't know. I just thought that sometimes the way Philadelphia handles things.
But guys, what about the national title game in college ball? Monday night, Clemson versus Alabama at 8:30. Alabama is favored. What do you guys think?
I can't Alabama beat against Alabama.
They beat Michigan State 38-0. Right. They'll beat Clemson, too.
They should.
Not that I'm a big college football fan.
No,
but Michigan State was a good team. They were a really good team.
It'll be a good game. I just hope the game is close.
Make a couple more spots. Say goodbye. And let's play a couple spots and see you all next week. Bye,
thanks,
guys.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC,
The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care,